Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week here in Michigan. I want to talk about that Giuliani first, because I think it's important that people know this, you see. And I think it's important that people know. A lot of times, people don't understand the truth. They won't accept the truth. Anybody who voted for Trump is a racist. I don't care. Well, you have a right to vote for whoever you want to vote for. That's a true statement. But if you vote for a racist and you know he's a racist, then you're a racist. It's just that simple. See, a lot of times we do not want to call people who they are. And that's why we're in this compromising position today. We refuse to just tell the truth. You see, if you're a racist, you're a racist. You see, only I won't hang around with nobody who's a racist. I won't hang around with anybody, whether black or white, who voted for Trump. I'm not going to do it, because that tells me something about the mentality of that person, you see. But anyway, let me talk about Rudy just for a second. He was here in Michigan, up in Lansing. And he brought this wacko. I don't know who she is. She had just sent some pictures to a lady husband that they was in a sexual position. She was butt naked. And it's against the law, really, to send out pictures by your phone or whatever. But she comes in and testifies. She's a Trump supporter. She said there was 30,000, she witnessed 30,000. Well, she was lying. We know that. But they think that lying is okay. So anyway, she was lying so much. Remember, I can't even remember everything she said. That's, you know, it was just so far out there that, you know, nobody would believe this. She was way out there. When I said way, even Rudy tried to stop her, told her, you know, trying to slow her down, saying, no, you're going way too far with this lie. And you know, we had rehearsed this lie. Now you way out there in left field. So anyway, he made a fool out of Rudy in front of everybody. It was a Republican thing. But she was like, you know, they were saying, like, this is the most ridiculous thing we ever heard. No, it's not. No, it's not. When you hear that man talk, that's ridiculous. When Trump with a small T talk, that's ridiculous. Those of you who are out there who's listened to this guy, now I think he's going to try to do something. You know, place a couple of guys inside the Pentagon that's over the Army and the Navy. And I think he's a born loser, really. He just came into some money. His dad helped him out with some money. And, he's a loser. But the thing is, he don't want to leave that office because he's afraid that he's going to be going to prison. See, I've been in prison. I know what prison do to you, you see, and I don't think he can handle it. I think even with all his money, he won't be able to stand up inside the prison system. Mm-hmm. And you know, most of his supporters are white. They won't have a chance in prison. They'll probably make, if he get out onto the yard or something like that, they'll make Trump pack up and get out of there. They'll make him go pack up. But I doubt if he'd be in population anyway. But I know that's what they'll do. But anyway, here's what's so important that people need to understand. Rudy did, it was like a power move, but he was counting on people believing what this girl was saying. But the girl got carried away with the lie. She started saying stuff that even Rudy could not stand up and say what she was saying was the truth. Yeah, that's true. And here's another thing. Most of my T.I. family, most of them are Trump supporters, a lot of them. And my thing, that draws the line with me, even with my T.I. family. If you're a Trump supporter, then I have nothing to say or do with you. It's just that simple. You see? Because to me, it may seem like a small thing, but it's a big thing. Because I know this man mentality. And I'm not saying that, you know, Joe Biden is any different as of yet. But he's proven to put a few black folks in there. But even when you put black people into positions, they normally don't do the right thing for the community no way, or for the city, or for black folks, period. They don't do it. They won't do it. But even now, Rudy Giuliani has COVID now. And, you know, I know it's a hoax. I know there's no such thing as COVID, COVID-19. That's just a hoax. You know, the numbers in the hospital, they're exaggerating, you know. Those folks is not dying from COVID. You know, they that's what they're saying. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. I have a lot of respect for this COVID, you see, because I'm going to listen to people and I've watched people die from it. And I'm, you know, it had blown my mind just to think about it. But here's the problem that I'm facing. We also have a lot of black people who are having strokes at this time. That's right. But the hospital is full of folks with COVID. So there's no beds available. None. Not one single bed here in Barron County, Michigan is available. And strokes happen to black people a lot because of high blood pressure, you know, blood clots. Those are things that cause strokes. And it's just as bad. Like when you get, well, just the other guy, this guy had a stroke, but it's only on one side, you see. He's still alive. But they couldn't treat him in the hospital because there's no bed space available for him, you see. So that, he had to be treated at home. So what I'm saying is this. I want people, especially my black brothers and sisters, to take this COVID stuff serious. And to me, there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask. When me and my wife go out, we have a mask on and we also have gloves on. It's better to be safe than laying up in, well, you're not going to get in the hospital because the hospital is full of folks. I don't know how people can say it's a hoax. I don't get it. I got a lot of respect for this COVID. You know, I know a lot of folks have died from it. So if they didn't die from COVID or whatever they died from, you know, just make sure you don't die from it. That's the most important thing. And stop listening to these people who don't want to wear no masks or I mean, what's so hard about wearing a mask? I mean, what's so difficult about it? You know, I'd rather see you safe without this. Then walk around here talking about, I'm not going to wear a mask. This is a hoax. This ain't real. I'm telling you, this is a fact. This is not something that Reverend Pinckney have made up. This is not something that Reverend Pinckney have made up. This stuff is real. And maybe it's designed to decrease the population here on Earth. I don't know. But I do not want none of my friends, myself, my family members to be part of that number. So I want you to, all everybody, I want you to take your time. Take your time. And wear your mask. Because we never know who might have that virus. And I know, you know, there's a lot of people out there, even some of my friends think, oh, I ain't gonna wear no mask, you know. I said, well, don't wear one. Just don't come around me. That's all. I mean, to me, the most important thing is that you be safe. You never know what these people do. These people do anything. You see, they will do anything. They will destroy you if you allow them. And you know, like I said before, everybody is expendable. You know, well, think about that. Now, Rudy got the virus. Rudy walked around here looking stupid. Didn't want to wear a mask. It's a hoax. Now he got that COVID-19. Now he's quarantined. He came here to Michigan and made a fool out of himself. Him and the poor girl. I feel sorry for her. They were showing pictures of her on the internet that she was had sent to the guy wife, and I felt real because they rhubarbed her. And this was mostly white folks rhubarbing her. But let me get back to this COVID, because those of you who are out here who think this COVID is not real, I want to tell you this COVID is real. It's real. And I don't want to see nobody win if we can help it. But here's the good news. I'm going to bring in my good friend, Malak. Last time he was here, he talked about Thanksgiving, which was so gigantic. And I'm still reeling from that, because he did a magnificent job. He told the story. And to me, there's nothing more important than telling the story. So I want to bring in my good friend, Malak, a young man who believes in God, the Most High. And there's none like him. My very, very good friend, Malak. Malak, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Pastor Pinckney? Shalom, everybody out there.
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking and trying to make this thing happen, make the world better for everybody, you know, because we got a long way to go.
That's right.
Yeah, we got a long way to go, man, because and, you know, we got different things that need to be done, and we got to figure out a way how we're going to improve our community. You know, and it's really a no-brainer how we're going to do it, but will we do it? That's, you know, we like to, my black brothers and sisters, they, you know, we don't have a real community. We have a real community. They have gas stations. They have grocery stores. They have just stuff where you can buy stuff and keep that money in your community. That's the making of a community, when you're able to keep the dollar circulating inside the community. We don't have that. We have people from all over. Koreans, we have the Indians, we have white folks, we have everybody with black folks owning stuff. You go spend your money with them, they take the money out of the neighborhood, and you never see it anymore. And they have a tendency to think it's okay. One guy told me, I said, why y'all go to that store? He cheats y'all. You know, it's the prices I have. Well, it's the closest to my house, you know. Well, why can't you get in your car and drive? You got a car. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, you'd rather spend extra money by going to a store that's two blocks away, or going. We got a guy right on. His name is Napier. He on Britain, which his store, you could almost walk to his store, but you'd rather walk an extra block to this Indian store, who prices are above, way above the guy over there, and you think it's all right. I got a problem with that. I do. All you can do is tell them. You can't tell a person where to spend their money. They're going to spend their money where they want to spend it, regardless. So what we have to do, we have to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. So we right there. We need to do what we need to do. But anyway, let's they're not here to hear what I got to say. They want to hear what you got to say. I know you got some force, man, and I know. But I want to tell you, I really loved what you talked about when you talked about Thanksgiving. That was really powerful because I didn't know that information. I had no knowledge of it, you know. But you educated me that day, and I appreciate it. But listen, tell me what you want.
What's so beautiful? What's so beautiful about it? We actually stopped a lot of people from doing Thanksgiving this year. So all praise to the Most High, because the information came out and they took heed to the information and they changed. And that's what the Most High wants. He wants us to change when we hear the information.
And you are 100% correct. When people get information, they should be able to do something with that information, which is so important, And we have to continue to teach our black brothers and sisters, because one of the things about them, and you as a black man, they will believe that white man before they believe you. Some cases,
I've been telling people that we the children of Israel. I've been telling them that for years. But as soon as a white person come in, then they'd be like, oh, man, I heard the white person said that we were children of Israel. And I'm like, man, I've been telling you that for years, all right?
But the thing was, they didn't want to listen then because it was coming from you.
Exactly.
And that's why, and here's another thing. They'd rather spend their money with someone other than black. They could be anything. They could be a Korean. They could be a Japanese. They could be a Chinese. It don't make a difference. They would rather spend their money with them than spend their money inside their own community with the brothers and the sisters. And then they cry, we don't have nothing, Wow.
Exactly. That's a part of the curses of Deuteronomy 28. That with us going against the Most High, we wasn't going to be able to establish our own businesses. It wasn't going to be blessed. It was going to be cursed. And so as we see our people trying to get businesses, we fight against it. We get jealous. Why I'm going to pay money to help him get his business or her get her business? They about to get rich, and I'm going to be poor. So that's how we look at everything. So we just like, all right, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to spend my money with somebody that don't look like me. And that's the sad part. And
go take the money out of the community. Take it straight out of the community. And then they talk to you so bad. That's the bad part. You're spending your money with these people, and they try to talk to you, and they kick your children. You can't send your kids to the store, your children to the store, because they're gonna try to cheat them. And for reason unknown, you think it's all right.
Yeah, their whole purpose of coming to America is to sell to us, because they know that we're the biggest consumers on the planet. So their main motivation is, I must get over there with those black people, because those black people is going to buy my products. And we don't care what it is. As long as they're selling it, we want it.
And, even though they should know better, they should figure out how are you going to accumulate wealth if you keep spending your money with people, number one, who don't like you, number two, who's going to take the money out of your community, and number three, what you're buying for them is not the best product, because they go to Walmart and buy it for one price and come back to the store and sell it to you for another price.
That's true.
So that's how that operates. It's unfortunate, But, you know, the truth is the truth. I don't care, you know, I don't care how you try to spin it. You know, the truth, you know, the truth don't stand, and the truth don't need no help, you know. So that's the most important thing that we got to deal with. Well, listen, you talk to me what you want to talk about today.
Okay, so last time I was on the show, we went over Thanksgiving. I explained to everybody that knowledge is increasing in the last days, and that's Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It says, "But thou, O David, shut up thy words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Right? So this is what's going on right now. The knowledge is being increased. So we went over Thanksgiving, and we explained that this was the time that the Moors lost their land. And not only did they lose their land, they was hunting us down like turkeys. They called the Moors Moorish Turks. Right? So
mm-hmm.
Eventually we ended up being turkeys. And they killed us and roasted us on the fire just like a turkey. And that was
mm-hmm.
actually a ceremony. There was actually a ritual, what we was doing when we have Thanksgiving. We put the turkey on the table and we get ready to cut it and carve it and say prayers around it. That's a ritual that has nothing to do with the Mosaic. Right? So
mm-hmm.
they can't hide anything now from us because now the information age is here. 30, 40 years ago, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers 50 years ago. You see what I'm saying? So a
Absolutely.
Lot of the older pastors and people of older age and everything, they're not getting all the information that we can have now. This is how we know we the children of Israel. They can't hide the information anymore, right? So now we're going to get on a new topic, right? This next topic that we're going to get on is Christmas, and it's the perfect time to get on it because people haven't got their Christmas trees yet. All praise to the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to see how many people we can stop doing Christmas. So we're going to be the Scrooge. We're going to be, what was that other dude, the Scrooge and
the Grinch.
The Grinch.
We
the Grinch and the Scrooge today because we're going to shut it down because the Most High God said, don't do these things. And we're going to show you mm-hmm. in the Bible and in history that you are not supposed to be doing this at all. You can't even, and matter of fact, let's get this scripture. Let's go to Hosea 4 and 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law, and I have also forgot thy children," right? So he's basically saying, we got the knowledge, right? But we rejecting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with him, with us rejecting knowledge, it is destroying us as a people, right? And so the Most High said, I ain't got no choice but to just, you know, cast you away right now because you don't want to listen to the information that's coming out, right? And it says, and they will increase. So they have sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. This is where we are right now and not understanding the people or the bloodline that we actually come from, right? With us not knowing that, we are stuck and curses and don't even know. The Most High is now not allowing a lot of stuff to happen in our lives because we are rejecting him. We rejecting his ways, right? He said, "They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them with their doings," right? So now the Most High is saying, if we come back and start doing the right thing, he will start rewarding us for the things that we do right, right? So when Christmas pops up, the first thing that they say is, hey, Christ was born on that day, so I'm celebrating Jesus, right? Okay, so we're going to break it down. We're going to see if Christ was born on December 25th. And you just can't make up any day for his birthday to be, right? Or any month. We just going to say December 25th and we ain't going to. No, somebody really was born on December 25th and it has nothing to do with Christ. So let's find out through scripture when Christ was born, right? So
I got
a brother Jerome on the phone. He's gonna read that part for us.
All right, read on.
Shalom,
hey,
Pastor.
Jerome. All right, how you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Good to be here. Good to be
hey,
here with
man.
You.
Man, I know the feel. Talk to me.
All right, so we're gonna go right in, and this is concerning the birth of Christ the Messiah, and we're at Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
All right, so now this is actually the census time that they was going around trying to find out how many people was in everybody's house, just like they're doing right now, right? You got the census
mm-hmm.
going around trying to see what's going on. And they did this. This was in Caesar Augustus' time when he was in rule, right? And when you look that up, it shows you that this was around springtime. This had nothing to do with the winter. It was around spring, right? So keep going.
And this taxing was first made by the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
All right, so they was getting taxed as well. So the census going on. Everybody got to pay their taxes. It's Caesar Augustus' time. Let's keep going.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, great with child.
Wait. He said to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, right, being great with child, right? So around springtime, Christ was still in her stomach. You know, December is past already. We probably March or April, somewhere up in there, because that's when Passover is coming around. Like, we always have a big feast right in springtime, right? And Christ was born around that time. Well, I'm going to show you all that, too. Okay, so Christ was about to be born right in that time. It had nothing to do with December, but keep going.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished.
He stayed out a little bit.
Okay. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
All right, so there we go. Okay, so Christ was born around springtime. The taxes and the census of Caesar Augustus, not in December. So let's go, jump down to verse 39 real quick. Let's find out what's happening right here.
This is Luke chapter 2, verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Most High, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of the Most High was upon him. The boy Yeshaya in the temple. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
Oh, man, stop right there. Remember, Passover, see, this is how the Most High works when he's doing scriptures. He gives you precepts. So these are actually clues to show exactly when Christ was born. Passover is like in the middle of March, end of March, beginning of April. Christ was born around that time. That's what they said. When he turned 12, they went to the Passover. You see what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
we can't say that Christ was born on December 25th. You can't say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this big old festival and I'm going to bring this tree in my house, and we're going to dress like Santa Claus, and we're going to give gifts to each other. And this has everything to do with Christ. This has nothing to do with Christ. Christ's birthday was not December 25th. Okay, so now remember, now we're talking about Santa Claus, the whole festivities of how everybody celebrates Christmas. We bring trees in our house. We decorate a tree in our house. We put a female angel on a tree or a star. We're going to get to that in a minute, right? And Santa Claus lives where? Where does Santa Claus live at, Piggy?
He lives in the North Pole.
Okay, he lives in the North Pole. And it's the reason why they say he lives in the North Pole, right? It's the reason why they say that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to Isaiah 14 and 12.
Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the Most High. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Okay, so Satan has fallen from heaven, and he wants to live in the north, right? Because the north is supposed to be the highest point in the world, right? He wants to be like the Most High. Think about that, right? Santa Claus, I said it right. I'm going to tell y'all right now anyway. But Santa Claus wears all red, right? And he has a big long beard. He stays in the North Pole, right? Now, when we scramble the name Santa, right, Santa is Satan that lives in the North, right? And everybody, you can just look this up on your own. That's all you got to do. Santa is, so he's trying to find out who's naughty or nice. Whose job is that? To find out who's good or bad. Ain't that the Most High job and Christ's job?
That's the Most High, right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to be like the Most High, right? So when we do Christmas, right, the first thing that we do is lie to our children. That's the first thing that we do. It start off with a lie, which is a sin. We sit up here and tell our kids that it's a fat white guy living in North Pole. He's going to come around with reindeers and drop off presents all over the world in one night.
And your kids are going to come around through the chimney. You're coming down the chimney, too. Don't forget.
Exactly. And so they sit up here, I can't wait to Santa Claus get here. Oh, man, I hope I've been good this year so I can get. So we already conditioning our kids to be good for Santa and not the Most High. And Santa is Satan.
Mm.
Right? Okay, so okay. Now let's find out who was born on December 25th. Read that, Elder.
Okay. When Nimrod, the founder of Babylon, died, Semiramis told the people that her husband's spirit had taken possession of the sun.
All right, so when your phone kind of going out a little bit, but it said when Nimrod, right, he died, right, he was when Nimrod, the founder of Babylon, died, Semiramis told the people that her husband's spirit had taken possession of the sun, right? So they think that Nimrod was inside the sun. So keep going.
She encouraged the people to get out and see her husband.
Wait, hit your phone a little bit or something, because you went way out this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah,
much better.
Okay, so she encouraged the people to pay homage to her husband by worshiping the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Thus began the evil practice of sun worship. Later on, when Semiramis gave birth to a son by the name of Tammuz, She hid her licentious form of living by lying to the people. She told them that she was miraculously overshadowed by the spirit of her dead husband, Nimrod, and it was in this way she was able to bring forth this so-called Son of God.
Do y'all hear this? Now, this is information that we wouldn't have had 50 years ago because we couldn't get into the books to read this stuff, right? So Nimrod died. His wife, right, lied to everybody, said Nimrod came down in spirit and gave birth to Tammuz, right? That's the day when he was born. Go ahead.
Semiramis also declared that her son, Tammuz, was in actuality the return or rebirth of her husband, Nimrod.
Okay, rebirth of her husband, Nimrod. Now, rebirth is that tree. That tree represents the rebirth. So that's what you got in your house. But keep going.
Hence, through this teaching, the doctrine of reincarnation was born. And since Tammuz was born on December 25th.
When was he born? When was he born?
December 25th.
When was Tammuz born?
On December 25th.
So we can't say Christ was born on that day. Because that's not who you're worshiping. And it's the same story of the baby being born in the manger, people giving the baby gifts, the whole thing. And it's not Christ. This is the Antichrist. This has nothing to do with the Most High. Go ahead.
This day was highly honored and recognized by Nimrod's supporters. Note, therefore, that this date, December 25th, was observed in honor of the birth of Tammuz long before Christianity existed, and that it was not until many centuries later this pagan custom was Christianized as being the birthday of Christ or Christmas Day.
All right. Do y'all hear this, right? So this happened way before Christianity. This happened all the way back when Nimrod died. Nimrod was the same guy trying to build the tower to the Most High, and he knocked the tower down, right? So they was already doing these practices in the Bible, right? They, like, everything that they was doing back then, people still doing it right now. This is not something brand new that just popped up. They've been doing it all the way from back then. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Now, this is where everybody going to get tested at. If you love Christmas, right, you about to get tested right now. Because if God tells you not to do it, you should not do it. All right, so let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1.
Okay. Hear you the word with the Most High speak.
You far away, aren't
you? Okay, is that better? Here we go.
Yeah.
Hear you the word which the Most High speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Most High, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
All right, so he said, I'm going to tell you something, you house of Israel. Y'all better hear me and listen to my words clearly. Do not follow or learn anything that these heathens are doing. Don't be afraid of what you see in the signs of the heaven, because we shouldn't be afraid when we see the sun and the moon and the stars doing what God said that they was going to do in the Bible, because we know what that means. They need to be afraid of that. For the heathen are dismayed at them. But go ahead.
For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe.
Wait a minute. So he said, this custom right here is in vain with the Most High. When you actually go in the forest, cut a tree down with an axe, and what they do after that?
They deck it with silver and gold.
Wait. So this tree that we're going to cut out the forest and bring it to our house, we're going to deck it. It's crazy how I say deck it, though. They deck the halls with flowers. Like they decking your halls.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. All of that, right? So you dressing your tree up, making it look beautiful. It's so beautiful. You put it in your in the picture window so everybody can see your tree, right? You mm-hmm. light it up. You spray it. You make it look so you can't even stop looking at the tree. But you bringing the tree in your house was a custom of the heathen, and this been going on for centuries before we was here, right? And he said they deck it with silver and gold, and what?
They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not.
Wait a minute. So they not only cut the tree down, but they actually put a cross or an X under the tree so it won't topple?
Yep.
This is the same custom. This is the exact same custom. And he is telling you not to do this. Keep going.
Jeremiah continues, they are upright as the palm tree, but
stoop not. Wait, stop right there. Now, is it not like they upright like a palm tree? They go up just like a palm tree?
Mm-hmm.
But they pine trees, though, right, that mm-hmm. we use now, right? But they go upright like a palm tree. So all of this stuff is nothing new. The Most High say, don't do it. So now I challenge everybody right now, if you know that the Most High say don't do it, and you reading it for yourself, it ain't no getting out of this.
mm-hmm.
Are you going to continue to keep doing what's not supposed to be done? Or are you going to do the righteous thing so the Most High can start dealing with us on a higher level? This is why we can't get nothing, because we ain't doing what he told us to do. All right, so let's go a little bit more history. Go ahead, Elder Jerome, read that part.
The pilgrims, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The pilgrims who came to America in 1620 were strict Puritans with firm views on religious holidays, Christmas and Easter. Scripture did not name any holiday except the Sabbath, they argued.
And all right, very... so look, wait, let's stop right there. They said in 1620, right, the people that was trying to follow the Bible at that time in this place, right, they didn't want Christmas or Easter nowhere near them, right? They said mm-hmm. the only holiday that they knew about was the Sabbath day, right? Go ahead.
And the very concept of holy days implied that some days were not holy. They for whom all days are holy can have no holiday was a common Puritan maxim. Puritans were particularly contemptuous of Christmas, nicknaming it Fool's Tide and banning their flocks from any celebration of it throughout the 17th and 18th centuries.
Okay, so now look, they just said that they banned Christmas from the 17th to the 18th century. Now watch this, it's about to get worse. Keep going.
All Christmas activities, including dancing, seasonal playing, games, singing carols.
Hit your phone a little bit, Elder, because it's
okay.
That's enough. Yeah, there you go.
All Christmas activities, including dancing, seasonal playing, games, singing carols, cheerful celebration, and especially drinking, were banned by the Puritan-dominated Parliament of England in 1644.
So in 1694, England banned Christmas.
Mm-hmm. 1644.
Yeah, 1644. They knew that it was pagan. They knew that it was wicked. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it. They wanted to stick strictly with the scriptures of the Bible. So this was in England, but keep going.
And the Puritans of New England followed suit. Christmas was outlawed in Boston, and the Plymouth Colony made celebrating Christmas a criminal offense, according to Once Upon a Gospel, 23rd.
Wait, read that part again because the phone went out. They got to hear that part.
Okay, so
Christmas was outlawed in Boston. Go ahead.
Christmas was outlawed in Boston, and the Plymouth Colony made celebrating Christmas a criminal offense, according to Once Upon a Gospel, 23rd publication, 2008. It's a book.
Okay, so they're telling you that in Boston and in Plymouth, that celebrating Christmas was a criminal offense because they knew how pagan it was and how wicked it was, and it had nothing to do with the Most High. They didn't even want to bring it over here. So Christmas at one point was actually outlawed because they knew what it was really about. They knew that this didn't have anything to do with Christ. Right? All right, keep going.
Christmas trees and decorations were considered to be unholy pagan rituals. And the Puritans also banned traditional Christmas foods such as mince pies and pudding. Puritan laws required that stores and businesses remain open all day on Christmas, and town choirs walked through the streets on Christmas Eve calling out, "No Christmas, no Christmas."
All right, so they didn't want no Christmas in their town. Your phone was going out, but no Christmas in a town. So let's get to the good part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so jump down where it says Santa Claus has a long been a symbol of Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Santa Claus has long been the symbol of Christmas, bringing joy and presents to all the good girls and boys. But if you are a child in Germany, Austria, or other parts of the Alps region, there may be something much more dark, mischievous, and grumpy hidden in the shadows next to dear old St. Nick. That something is Krampus, the Christmas demon.
All right, so Krampus, the Christmas demon. Who knew about that, right? They actually have... when they made the little celebration, right? And if you anybody is by their computer, you need to type him in right now, Krampus, and he is a part of Christmas, right? He those elves and all that stuff to be with Santa and all that, that's him, right? That's who he is, Krampus, right? And he is going around and remember he's trying to find out who's naughty or nice. So they really only tell you about the Santa Claus part. But they never tell you about the demon part for all of the kids that's supposed to be naughty, right? So Krampus go in, and they had this big old parade, and it's all these demonic-looking, big, 7-foot-tall demons walking down the street. They got on these costumes, and they grab kids and whoop them right in front of their parents, and everybody loved it, right? And so this was the celebration that they do. This was their... They're rituals that they do, but let's go ahead. Keep going.
A beast-like creature with fangs, fur, and horns, Krampus announces his presence with loud bells and terrorizes the kids who have been naughty during the year. While Santa gives the good ones gifts and joy, Krampus gives the bad ones beatings with a whip made from birch sticks and horsehair, and nightmares. As for the really, really naughty kids, Krampus drops them in a sack or a wicker basket on his back and whisks them away to his lair, which is, of course, the underworld, never to be seen again.
All right, now we're going to start right there. Now, that's what that sack is, too, because he got a sack, too, just like Santa Claus. But the sack be kids in it, right? Another thing about Christmas is when they was worshiping Nimrod, they used to go and put presents under these trees, give presents to the tree because they thought the tree was Nimrod, right? So anybody who didn't give a present under the tree, you know what they did? They cut the people's heads off and put it on a tree. This is where the balls come from. Everything means something. Well, let me put these beautiful balls on the tree, right? When we put a female angel on the tree, it's always a female angel or a star. We haven't never seen a female angel in the Bible. But all of a sudden, we have a female angel on top of the tree, right? So this female angel And sometimes it's a star, it's Esther. That's who that is. And she's the queen of the universe, right? And so that's who you're worshiping. It's Esther, it's Nimrod is the tree. And then when you try to bring Christ into it, talking about baby Jesus and all that, now you bring in his son, which is Tammuz. So the whole celebration is of wickedness. You're not supposed to be going out getting a tree, putting it in your house. I'm going to give everybody gifts. It's a lot of energy that they get when we do this. When we praise and worship the Most High, we send energy up to him, right? And we all come together and start calling out his name, screaming, praying, and shouting, singing. That's energy going up to the Most High. But when the devil wants that energy too. So we going around saying, oh, I just love Christmas. I'm in the Christmas spirit. Oh, I'm going to give gifts for Christmas. All that energy is going to Satan, right? So with us coming into knowledge of truth, this is the truth age. Right? This is when all of the stuff you can go investigate yourself and say, why have I been doing this all these years and I never researched it? Why did I expose my kids to this? Why did I lie to my kids telling them that Santa Claus is real? The Tooth Fairy is real, right? The Easter Bunny is real. Why are we doing that? Why are we, wow. Are we supposed to be teaching our children to tell the truth?
That's right. So we absolutely.
Because I remember when I found out that my parents lied to me, I was upset. I had to hide up under the table, right? The dining set table, and I was hiding under there, and I seen my father coming in, sneaking all the presents under the tree. And I was like, man, ain't no Santa Claus. I go in there and tell my brother, and he started crying. I was like, I was like, listen, Santa Claus ain't real. He was like, yes, he is. I'm like, no, he not. I was like, Daddy is Santa Claus.
I know that's right. And you probably was thinking Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My mama had all of them Christmas, the whispers, everything going like, oh, Christmas. And so, anyway, I tell him, he started crying. We confront my father. I'm like, Daddy, why did you lie and say Santa Claus? He not. And I'm like, why am I a kid asking my father why he lied to me about this? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to lie. I never wanted to lie when I was a kid. But now that I got older and we do our research, now we figure out that the lie is even worse. We're not even having anything to do with Christ. All of this stuff has everything to do with Satan. So everybody right now that's listening, you have a choice to make. Are you going to follow the Most High? Or are you going to follow the devil? This is why our people can't get anywhere, because he said I was going to send you to a nation of heathens, and we following everything that they do. But
absolutely.
He can't bless us. He can't bless us while we're doing wickedness. He got to bless us when we're doing righteousness. So he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they do what? They reject knowledge. So that's the whole story of Christmas. And it even get a little bit deeper, but we're going to stop right there. But so
hopefully
we stop some people from buying some trees today.
Yep. I think you did a remarkable job. A lot of times people don't know. Now, they have a choice. They can make the choice. They can't say they didn't know. See, that's the most important part. They can't say they did not know. And, got a lot of love, a lot of respect for you, man, because you bring it on. And if can't ask for no more than that. The truth will stand. And here's the thing. The truth don't need no help. You see, that's where people get confused at. The truth don't need any help. The truth will stand regardless of what anybody say. But I listen. If you know, you got a couple of minutes. The your final words, and I got to bring in Bobby Worthy and tell us what anything else you want us to know. And you and I need to talk during the week.
Okay. I'd like to thank Pastor Pinckney for creating this beautiful platform for us to be able to share our wisdom and our knowledge together. I think this is a beautiful thing that a lot of people is learning for the first time ever. And I just love it because the Most High is setting it up for us to actually change. Some of us are so stuck in our ways and we following traditions of men and we just don't want to change. We can't be so stubborn when we see something that is wrong and try to still make it right, right? Some people are going to say, well, I'm going to still do Christmas. You know, I'm going to do my own thing, but, you know, it ain't about no demons to me, right? But if you rehearsing the unrighteous acts, right, that makes you unrighteous. This, you can't make that right. You can't say, well, I'm not going to do the tree, but I'm going to still do the presents. Or I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to still do that. It ain't no cutting it up in pieces. If you're celebrating on that, we're supposed to be giving I give my daughter presents every day. Every day. If wherever we go to the store, she'd be like, can I get that? Go on, get that. Go on, get that. She don't know nothing about Christmas. She don't care about no Christmas because all of her presents she get all during the year. Right? I tell Lord, I love her. Families come together all the time. We don't have to do it on that day. Right? So let's come out of the programming mode. Let's get out that program mode and let's stand as leaders of the earth. So all praise to the Most High. Thank you, Pastor Pickney, for having us coming on. It's always a pleasure. And shalom, everybody. And don't buy no Christmas trees.
Amen. My brother. Hey, truly, truly appreciate you. And listen, take care of yourself, and let's talk soon. All right now. That was my good brother, Malak, giving us the history. Now let me bring in my good friend, Bobby Worthy from Atlanta. Talk to me, Bobby.
Hey, Reverend Pickney, I just want to apologize for last week, man. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I want to apologize for missing last week. I was in the hospital. I got ammonia in the lungs right now. So
I'm gonna try
to keep it short. Yeah, but I'm fine. It's not COVID, so that's the best thing. But anyway, I don't really get into religious things. I follow the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he doesn't debate when it comes to. But you'll never see Farrakhan debate about any religion, and he knows all religion. He can take your own religion and eat you up with it. That's a man of knowledge and understanding. I don't get into religions. Can you hear me? Huh?
Yeah, I hear you well.
Yeah, so I don't get into religious things. The concept of what people believe in, parts of the Bible, some parts of the Bible. We have these people that are expert on scripture reading and documents. I mean, you can get in the Bible and come up with 10 different verses that say different. But what we don't understand about the Bible is that the Bible clearly says that in the New Testament said, I did not come to destroy the laws of Moses, but to fulfill them. And God gave us what they call free will. Understand, free will is a mighty word. God gave you the free will. I don't celebrate Christmas, not because of what the Bible say about the way to part, the don't align your trees with silver and gold like the pagans do. I don't celebrate it because it's commercialized. You know what I'm saying? It has become too commercialized, and they have taken away the concept of Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Instead, we talking about Christmas, we should be talking about homosexuality, because this is what God created, God called a great sin. This is what we should be talking about children. If I'm like this, if his power is in the children, because the children is the future. And whatever makes a child happy, like my family, I got family members that celebrate Christmas. And because they teach their children, I can only teach them and tell them why I don't celebrate it. But I'm not going to take away the joy of them of believing in Christmas or what it is. Now, my side of the family never, ever told me that Santa Claus was real. You know what I'm saying? We was taught the concept of Santa Claus and what it was about and all that. I don't agree with all that, but I'm not going to take away children's joy. And I don't think God we want to take that away from children and hold children liable for what that brings joy and bring peace and harmony against everybody. I mean, I don't agree with it, but it's the way of the world, and you can't change it. Instead, we should be talking about all the homosexual activities that's going on in our world, in our life, that's came out that's in the network since President Obama.
Mm.
And we should be talking about that. We should be talking about the word N-word that we are saying. I heard that word on the show, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. It's the rap music that's destroying our children's mind. We have taken the word, and I'm going to say it on the air, nigga, and we have taken and gave it to our youth, and the rap music is the one that is shortening and talking about nigga. I'm sitting at the damn, come to my sister's house and visit my sister's house, and my nephew them in 30 minutes playing a game. I heard him say nigga, the word nigga, for 114 times, and I called it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You are in, if nigga and negro is coming out your mouth, and you refer to your homeboys or your friends as a great concept, as a show of respect by calling them nigga, you are in a mental state of slavery. And you are lost in this world. And if you don't get out of that mental state of slavery, I don't care if you celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate Christmas. I don't care about Nimrod and none of that. Your ass is going to, excuse my language, is going to be lost in this damn world. Now, I go across the world every day watching young boys die. We just had a boy day before yesterday found hung. Hung in from the balcony of a hotel room.
Mm.
And here we're talking about Christmas and who's celebrating Christmas. But we're dying every day. And it's going to get worse. I told these guys when the New Panther Party, the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, if you ain't ready to pull the trigger, stand the fuck down. It's time to get real. These white folks ain't playing. And they ain't sitting here believing, they ain't sitting here holding the Bible talking about, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. The white folks don't care nothing about that. Then this young boy been hung. They had hung the other day, and they already suspect foul play. He said it, reason, he got in an argument with two white boys 3 days before. Now he found hung on the courthouse steps.
Mm.
Down on courthouse steps, he found hung hanging from the balcony of a hotel. 18 years old, his birthday was day 19. He would have turned 19 today. And this just happened the day before yesterday.
Did anybody get arrested?
So, you know, it's a suspicious thing. It's under, of course, it's under investigation. You know how that go. They got to get all the certificates out of the way. But like I said, I understand about the religion thing and all that, and it's fine and dandy. I love religion. The Bible clearly, this is what we don't understand about religion. And Rev, no disrespect about anybody on the phone or your guests or whatever. Religious, all religion, no matter what it is, is based on faith, not facts.
Mm.
And that's just being real. All religion is based on faith and not facts.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
All right.
But we leave.
So,
huh?
So listen, So you was in the hospital with that pneumonia?
Yeah, well, that's what they kept me for observation for COVID.
Uh-huh.
Until the test results came back. Yeah.
But they discovered you didn't have the COVID.
No, I ain't got COVID. I just got pneumonia in the lungs.
Yeah, but you know you take that COVID serious, don't let those, you know, people.
Yeah, I take it serious. I don't go around nobody. I don't go around family members. I don't go around friends. I'm not a pretender. In the New Black Panther Party, we do security for Boosie Badass and all the rappers and all that there, the different rappers and stuff since the passing of our chairman. And since the spread of COVID, I turn down all the cases now. I turn down all the jobs. I don't want them because y'all take too much chances. Y'all take too many risks, and it's us. It's always us that's taking these unnecessary. Just like Grandmaster Jay, I just talked to him the other day for the Black Militia, got arrested. He out now. All these guys, even some of the Moors, all on YouTube talking about this guy being an agent and all that. And that's the first thing wrong with Black folks. That's the first thing. We're always downrating each other, but I ain't seen them more on them neat. And I say that damn Black person stand up to the plate like this man did. What Black man you know, size Farrakhan, can put 5,000 people in one place at one time? Of us.
Mm.
The first thing come out your mouth is your agent. Prove it. Stop calling each other agents and say support each other.
Yeah.
I ain't seen the Nation of Islam. I ain't seen none of them. Moors or none of them stand up to do anything what these white folks doing to us.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I travel all over the country watching little black boys die. Mike Brown, all we were involved in all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And where's all these people talking about religion? And I'm not just talking about one. I'm talking about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Where you at?
Absolutely.
Because we're dying, and it's about to get worse. It's about to get worse. If we don't get it together, come and get ourselves out of that mental state of slavery, we are going to be lost as a people, because all we do is, because you got to remember, we follow the characteristics of the leaders that's over us. We follow the path of what our parents are. So it, what 95% of the time, whatever your parents are doing, you will do. That is why, because the youth is so lost. We more our youth, the rap, like I said, the rap music has effed our youth brain up constantly. That's all they saying is the N-word. How can you take the N-word and make it a word amongst your people of respect? That's a true mental state of slavery. That is what you call a true nigger.
All right. All right, Bobby.
You know what I'm saying? But
absolutely.
I ain't mean to go hard, man, but I'm sick of all this stuff. We got too much excuses going on, and not enough serious revolutionary soldiers. Like, I did a podcast a few weeks ago, and I told the guys, look, we can march and protest all day long. We can march and protest all day long. The people don't care nothing about that. It is till then you know how to either put that paperwork on them, or you're going to really do something, is when them people are going to respect you.
Amen.
And talking,
amen,
marching, and protesting, like I said before, Martin and Malcolm, we are repeating the habits of Martin and Malcolm now, because Martin and Malcolm couldn't come together as one. We are doing exactly what they did. We can't come together as one. But Martin and Malcolm in their last days, Martin and Malcolm in their last days, y'all, I'm kind of hurting here with my breath, but anyway, in their last day was trying to come together as one. They knew this, and they destroyed them before they can unite. Because we like to talk about the I Have a Dream speech, but what about one of Martin's last speeches is, if you're not willing to die for what you believe or for those you love, you ain't worth living.
There you go.
Now, how many of you got token pistols?
Yeah.
How y'all guys
absolutely
are toting pistols and talking about rifles and all that? How many of y'all actually pull the trigger?
All right. Hey, Bobby, we just about ran out of time.
Right.
So listen, call me during the week. I want to make sure you're okay, brother.
Okay.
All right.
I got you, man.
Okay.
All right,
yeah, that was all right now. That was my good friend, Bobby. Absolutely. I just want to let people know that you're out here, and I want you to know that COVID-19 is serious. I know it have attacked the prison system, and it's where I was at in Cold War, over half the people there got it. More people than that from Cold War than any other place. They claim only 91, but they said 91 people have died in the prison system here in Michigan, but it's a lot more than that. I would say it's close to 200, but that's me talking. But I want everybody to know that COVID is real. It's no joke. And let's get ourselves ready for it. But at this time, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station.